Hi everyone. Welcome to Movies with My Mother. I am Lexi.
And I'm Mom Lori.
And today we watched Highlander.
We did.
It's a solid R rating from 1986, an hour and 56 minutes long, directed by Russell Mulcahy.
Yes.
It did not fare well.
Not at all.
69% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yikes.
24 on Metascore.
Oh my.
And 7.0 out of 10 on IMDb.
Wow.
Which I think is reasonable.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Because this movie is cool, but it's not a good movie.
No, and I felt it was very difficult to watch.
Is it because they went from 1985 to 1518 to 1793 to 1985?
That back and forth thing is not my favorite. If I start reading a book and it starts doing that, I stop reading that book. I guess because I'm watching this movie for entertainment. I'm not watching this movie to keep up with it.
Right. It is a little bit much to ask.
Yeah. Although it was very interesting. And it wasn't like they cut back and forth at odd times. I mean, whenever they went back and forth, it like fit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's a personal preference. There you go. A personal preference.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It had a budget of about $16 million.
I saw that.
And a worldwide gross of just under $6
million. I didn't see that. I thought it had a box office of about $12
million. I don't know. That's what I
said. Oh, wait. What did you say the budget was?
16. About 16.
I have 19.
Well, mine is, it says about.
Okay.
So that could mean 19.
Right, and I do have a box office, but it does not say worldwide, of 12.
Hmm. Are you looking at the right one?
Yeah. Lord, I hope so, because I have all the information I have came from mostly the same source.
Okay.
Oh, well.
Yeah, well, we'll find out.
But often we get like that.
Yeah. When a movie's part of a series, it gets a little muddy every once in a while.
Right. Correct.
The basic plot is that after centuries of dueling to survive against others like him, an immortal Scottish swordsman faces his final opponent, a bloodthirsty barbarian who has chased him across time to 1985 New York City, where they fight for the prize, the spiritual ability to know everything.
Wow. Okay, who wants that to begin with? I think back in the 1600s, that might have been okay, but today, hell no.
If somebody from the 1600s knew everything that we know today, their minds would explode.
Yes, absolutely.
So, I mean...
But they came along through time, and they were current type people.
Yeah.
So I guess, never mind. Don't listen to me.
Well, they would have known everything anyways, because they just kept existing.
I think so.
Yeah. So, I mean, and also I had a really big problem with how did the Kurgan know that it was just them left, and how did he not know that, or did he know that and just never verbalized it for us? Like, I don't. And if there was only the two of them left, how is there a sequel?
Yeah, when he met that guy in the park.
Yeah.
Who turned out to be the next to last one.
Yeah.
Did we miss something there in the conversation? Did they have a conversation that it's, you know, it's you and me against him now? Did we miss?
I did kind of float away during that part.
Me too. I remember the guy. I remember his flowy robes. And then boom, they were fighting in the hallway, in the alleyway.
Yeah.
So did maybe we miss something?
Oh, who the hell knows?
If you're listening and you know the answer to that, let us know. But so, you know, maybe we missed it and they knew, he knew. Those two guys knew at the end what the stakes were.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, how did they find each other?
Well, I think he said it was kind of like he felt like a static when somebody else was near. I think he said that.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right, I get that.
I don't know.
Maybe we need to watch it again.
It was a 2-hour movie.
It was a long movie.
I have it in me.
It was a little too long for Mom.
Yeah.
She faded away a bit.
I faded away a lot.
I'm sorry. And it was a good movie. It was an okay movie.
Yeah.
It moved along, but dang, it was a little slow moving along. I don't know. There again, my opinion.
The unnecessary sex scenes in the movie were weird. Not just because I was watching them with you, but because they were weird.
Yes, because you were surprised. And I said, well, honey, it is a solid R. And it does say smoking, drinking, sex, violence, nudity. You know, but you don't always look at stuff like that.
And, you know,
I always look at stuff like that. No.
It felt like they were just kind of put in there to be
gratuitous. Yes, they were gratuitous.
Yeah.
I
really didn't like listening to Christopher Lambert grunting.
Yeah, that's true.
It
was unnecessary. But was it unnecessary?
I don't know. I guess to show that he's like, even though he's not human, he's a human being.
Okay. And yes.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I didn't think it was necessary.
They were both of the sex scenes, both very unnecessary.
Yeah. Oh, well.
The cast is Christopher Lambert, as we mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Hired only because of his eyes.
They were deep, weren't they?
Yeah.
They were very, very deep.
And before I get anywhere else, I have to say that they didn't know that he didn't speak a lick of English when they hired him.
No way!
So this movie took forever and a day to film because he was learning English as they went. Not
That's
a,
his odd accent.
Not a lick of English.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
French as French can be.
All right.
Going back to the cast. Roxanne Hart, Clancy Brown, Sean Connery, Beatty Edney, Alan North, Sheila Gish, and John Polito are the faces that you would recognize.
Well, crazy, crazy as it is, I recognized more than that. I am, you know, when we were watching it, I said, hey, I know that guy.
Oh, one of his Klansmen.
Yes. It was
John Cosmo.
John Cosmo, and he played the murderer on Midsummer Murders. I love that show. He played the X-Man, and he turned out to be the murderer.
Now, was he called the X-Man because he played guitar, or yes, was he actually using an axe?
No, he never used an axe.
Okay.
One guy, he smothered to death and drove his car into a pool.
Oh.
One lady he electrocuted.
Okay.
So, no, he never used an axe.
Okay.
He was the Axe Man, though.
Yeah.
It was a group, a musical group.
Sure.
And that was his nickname.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, hey, I recognize somebody from the stuff I watch.
Okay, and I've got trivia. I've got a little bit on Canon Films.
Yeah, you wanted to talk about that. I looked at that. You know, you had talked about that, and I did not get a lot out of that you were talking about. They were a part and parcel of 20th Century Fox.
Okay.
And you know, they slid down from there, I think it
Well,
sounds like.
it sounds like it kind of started out as distributing like softcore porn.
Oh, yes, I kind of got that.
And then, peppered in were a couple of like classic movies. I mean, I don't recognize them, but they made a point to. Oh, one of them I do recognize is Runaway Train. But most of it all sounded like the early stuff sounded like just softcore porn.
Made for TV type stuff too.
But when Dennis Friedland and Christopher Dewey left the reins to Menachem Golan and Yoram Globus, at the tide drastically turned. They bought the rights to the Death Wish movie and then made all the sequels, bringing back Charles Bronson. Menachem Golan made Jean-Claude Van Damme a star. And that I had seen a documentary about Canon Films, and that's why this is all very funny to me. In which Jean-Claude Van Damme said that he was basically stalking Menachem Golan. And he met him outside of a restaurant, finally got a face to face with him outside of a restaurant, and he did like a spin kick in this old man's face. And the guy was like, "I want to make you a star."
Did he then say thanks? That's what I've been waiting for.
So there's all like stuff like that. There's all sorts of just goofy shit.
It was all interesting. And doesn't it even trickle right down to Disney?
I think it kind of does. Let me.
Through its incarnations?
Yeah.
So, you know, where does it start and where does it end? Weird stuff. It was weird stuff.
Yeah.
But quite interesting. That's the problem with when I start doing this research. It's like an encyclopedia. You pick it up and then, oh, what's this about? And it's so much easier on the computer because you can just touch the word and it'll go off and tell you all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So,
But I can't even tell you what that documentary was, but it was wild. So if you find whatever documentary you can about Canon Pictures, I'm sure it'll be interesting.
I'm in. I'm in. Because like I said, I start looking at one thing and 2 hours later I think, oh, gotta do this. I can't be looking at that.
Yeah.
I have to do my homework. It's fun. It's fun to do that. It's fun to learn stuff.
Oh yeah, Wikipedia is a rabbit hole.
Oh my God, yes. Yes, absolutely. And this director, Russell Mulcahy,
Yeah.
I think I kind of like him.
I think I do too.
I just, you know, I just, it started right out with stuff that was interesting to me. He got his start doing music videos, and that's another rabbit hole I went down.
Oh my God.
And then I told you about it yesterday, and you were shocked.
And then I went down the rabbit hole.
It's all music from your time because my time was not music videos, but you were a music video child.
Yeah, MTV VH1 that was always on.
And you know, you knew all of that. You knew everything.
Absolutely.
And I just really like this guy. His first movie debut was with a movie called Razorback,
Okay.
an Australian horror movie.
About a pig?
A pig?
Isn't that what a razorback is?
Well, yes, but I don't believe they have those in Australia.
They've got bush pigs.
I did not do any research on that movie. But
did you not expect me to know what a razorback is?
I did not expect you to bring up a razorback. As far as I know, a razorback is an Arkansas football player. Okay. We were talking about Alabama.
No, you were talking about Arkansas.
Arkansas,
today.
You are right. You are. I think they're the razorback. Anyway, no, I just did not expect to be talking about a pig.
Okay.
So no, I don't think that there is any correlation there.
Sure.
But he came to international prominence with this movie.
Okay.
But then he went back to horror and action and stuff like that. His work is recognized. Here we go. We were talking about this too during the movie. Fast cuts.
Yes.
Cracking shots.
Okay.
And neo-noir lighting.
Okay.
Which there was quite a bit of that in this movie. Because in the alley, when they were fighting in the alley, let's see, tracking shots are where it's like all directions, going in all directions. And the fast cuts are those that we talked about, cuts that convey time.
Okay.
So he's known for all of these, and I think he did it. I think it was pretty cool. I mean, learning about how these guys work is quite interesting to me.
Okay.
Let's see. He started doing video directing music videos in 1976.
Yeah.
In Australia and New Zealand. And he became quite in demand, apparently. He worked for Wizard Records. And they brought him to England, where he started to work on the punk scene in Birmingham.
Oh, okay. Oh, so that's where he met up with the Sex Pistols.
Yes.
Okay.
Then he joined John Roseman Production International, and that's when he started working with the big names.
Okay.
Of British Pop Culture Club, Paul McCartney, Human League,
Elton John, Duran Duran,
Sex Pistols, yeah, those.
XTC?
Actually, all of them.
Yeah.
Any big name, you can look at his list of videos, and they'll be on there somewhere.
I can see half of these videos in my head.
Absolutely. That's what I said. You are of a time when those were every day. That was what we listened to. My age listened to the radio. You guys listened to the TV.
Yeah. And like, I remember buying like Duran Duran's best videos. Like, I have a whole VHS collection of just music videos.
Yeah. AC/DC, The Tubes, Human League, Paul McCartney, The Bungles.
The Buggles?
The Bungles. Hello. Video Killed the Radio Star. Right there. Boom.
Yeah.
Number one. That is patient number one.
Yeah.
And it was his. Elton John, Rod Stewart, Kim Carnes. I know she's not, big hot star, but she was hot in the 80s.
Everybody has heard Betty Davis Eyes.
Yep.
And everybody can see that video. Lots of gray.
Yep. Spandau Ballet, Duran Duran, Fleetwood Mac, The Motels, Billy Joel, Rolling Stones. Do I need to go on?
Bonnie Tyler's Total Eclipse of the Heart. You can see that video too.
Yep. Cliff Richard. Again, Falco, Go West. I mean, just these are names I recognize.
Def Leppard's Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Yep. Rod Stewart. Boy George.
Yeah. Like, this is wild to me.
Yeah.
He also did the Princes of the Universe by Queen for Highlander.
Yes.
He directed that music video, too.
Yes.
And you didn't mention, like, bands like Berlin and Ice House and,
right.
The Tubes. Like, I Ultravox, I know all of those bands.
And those are your...
I still listen to those bands.
Right. I name names that I recognized.
Yeah.
You know, these were common everyday names that I recognized.
Yeah.
Those are the ones I skipped are the ones that you recognize.
Yeah. It's crazy to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So this guy was really, I would say, super talented.
Most of Duran Duran's hits on music video.
Yeah.
He almost killed Simon Le Bon.
Yes, you told me that.
On the Wild Boys video.
Oh my gosh.
It was a
malfunction?
Yeah, a malfunction on a windmill. And Simon Le Bon was submerged for several minutes.
Oh my God. That is crazy to me. That's absolutely crazy. So this guy, as far as I'm concerned, this guy is really talented. This, you know, to jump from musical group to musical, and none of those musical groups are the same.
No, but you can see a lot of parallels in the music videos. There's a lot of gray. Is There Something I Should Know by Duran Duran? There's a lot of gray and a lot of that kind of that avant-garde type of filming where there's not a lot going on, but there's a lot going
there's a
on.
Lot. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Okay.
So, you know, Video Killed the Radio Star, that's a lot of gray.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, but I can see, you know, the I'm Still Standing video by Elton John where he's walking down a street and he's got a little hat on and he's doing his little song into the camera. And it's, I can still see all of these.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yep. I know. It's crazy. So, yeah. So, like I said, the more I've learned about this guy, the more I like him. He just, you know, he was an innovator from the beginning.
That's awesome.
You know, this is stuff from early 70s.
Yeah.
Mid 70s. And they didn't know what we know today then. You know, they didn't have the technology that we have today. And he made all of those timeless things for, you know, people of your age to remember. I think it's amazing. I think it's amazing. And like so many others, at 14, he got a little Super 8 camera.
Okay.
And started making movies with his buddies at school.
Huh.
And then he learned about editing, and he liked that even better. So he knew all angles of the production, and he was an actor.
Oh, okay.
So he knew all the jobs, and I think that makes for a good director too. Let's see here. I got stuff about Razorback. It too, that 1984 movie Razorback, is also in the cult realm.
Okay.
And he didn't feel like that was his best effort because he's a big fan of letting everybody take part in it. And because of that, he felt that he didn't do as good a job as he could have leading the pack. You know, even a good leader is able to let everybody take part, have a say, be a voice.
Okay.
But the best leaders are the ones that can separate it and still be a good leader, as well as letting everybody take part in it.
Okay.
And that's where he felt he fell down. But, you know, not ever having seen the film, I don't know what he, you know, exactly what.
Yeah. What does that exactly mean?
Yeah. I don't know. Let's see. Then we've already talked about the whole filming of the movie was rather a tragic story to me. I mean, here's this guy who's immortal, but he can never have the love of his life. He can't have children, stuff like that, you know. That's the sad stuff. But it was a good movie, I think. I still think so.
Yeah, I think this is a great movie. It is a 2-hour long music video, though.
Oh, you know, I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
But I don't know. Thinking about it the other way, isn't that what all movies are?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I know the soundtrack, though, was fucking awesome.
I do have a little about that soundtrack. There really was no... let me see if I can find my soundtrack stuff. There was really no particular official... Oh, here it is. There was no official soundtrack. Michael Heyman was the music... the director, the musical person.
Okay.
But there are bootleg versions of a soundtrack out there floating around.
Okay.
But most of the music was the Queen's music from their album, A Kind of Magic.
It's taken from this movie. Remember when he was holding the little girl and mm-hmm. he gets shot and she said, "How come you're not dead?" And he said, "It's a kind of magic."
Right. Right. But that album is not the soundtrack.
But it might as well be.
Maybe.
Okay.
There's some talk about
listen,
there's talk about that.
No other band in the world could have written and performed Princes of the Universe. I'm just throwing it out there. This is something that only Queen could have done.
Yeah. They were a band before their time.
Yeah. Most definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they did the soundtrack for Flash Gordon in, like, I don't know, like 81 or 82.
Yeah.
And that movie tanked hard. So I'm sure anybody involved was a little leery about, you know, jumping back into the movie biz, but
okay.
All of this music's awesome.
Yep. Okay. The writing of this movie began as a 1977 class project.
Okay.
And Ridley Scott's The Duelist was the inspiration for it.
Okay.
And it was his instructor that said, "Hey, dude, you need to take this to an agent. This is good stuff." And so he did. And the agent sold this story for $200,000 for a college kid.
Wow.
Can you imagine
what I would have done with $200,000 in college?
Exactly.
Jeez.
Exactly. So yeah, I mean, like I said, there's just so much stuff that I'm liking about this guy.
Yeah.
That really interesting. Really interesting stuff. So what you got? You had something. My mouth is tired of talking.
This movie was intended to be just a one-off movie, but it did so poorly that nobody really expected a sequel. But the fan base, the cult following, like really, really egged on the making of Highlander 2, the Quickening.
Right. And he did start directing this movie.
Yes.
But he didn't. Is this the one he didn't finish? Oh my goodness. I'm confusing things, aren't I?
I don't know what's happening.
The Quickening. Let's look at that. Oh, well, never mind, because it'll take forever to bring it up. Let me look at my notes again.
Okay. I told you in the beginning of the movie when Sean Connery is doing that voiceover at the very, very beginning.
Yes.
That was an afterthought kind of thing. And the reason it sounds so echoey is because he's not talking through time, which you could, you know, assume from that. It's that he was recording the voiceover in his bathroom in Spain. And the acoustics in his bathroom just caused that echo.
Oh my goodness. No, I'm getting my facts mixed up here. He wasn't real thrilled with he wasn't real thrilled with the way Highlander 2 turned out.
Okay.
And he tried to get his name taken off as director.
Really?
He wanted, you know, to use a pseudonym. But because he was not a member of the Directors Guild of America, that was a big no.
Oh, no.
So he could not force them to change his name on that. Because and I tried to do a little studying about this.
Okay.
He was not happy about is that there was a completion bond on this movie. And I tried to look up what a completion bond was. And it's when they start making a movie, and there's investors and money coming from here, there, and everywhere. People expect, you know, they expect to get a rebate on these things.
A return on investment.
A return, right.
Yeah.
And so these things called completion bonds are set up so that if something does happen, you know, and the movie is just left hanging, this completion bond company can take over the movie and finish it and distribute it.
Oh, boy.
And
can you imagine how that movie turns out?
Well, that's Highlander 2.
Oh, wow. I've never seen it.
They were
I've seen bits and pieces of this movie 100 times, but I've never seen the second one.
Okay. Well, that's why Mulcahy was not happy with this movie. That it got completed not like he was looking to have it completed.
Huh.
So, yeah, that's why he was not real thrilled with that movie. Interesting. I thought it was interesting.
Funny.
Yeah.
We had mentioned that Christopher Lambert didn't speak a lick of English.
Oops.
He did his own dubbing for the French version of this film.
Of course. Why not?
Kurt Russell was originally cast as Connor McLeod, but pulled out at Goldie Hawn's insistence. He instead starred in Big Trouble in Little China.
Ooh.
Yeah. Could you see Kurt Russell as Connor McLeod?
I can't.
Yeah.
I think I can.
He'd look great in a kilt.
But would he be too pale?
No, because he looks like a man that can tan well.
Okay. Okay, yeah. All right. Yes, I can absolutely see him in that part, yes.
Yeah.
And I don't say that very often at all.
Uh-uh. But Kurt Russell in that role?
Yep, absolutely.
Could absolutely see it.
And I could see him pulling off the whole rest of the movie, too.
Yeah.
The sophisticated, you know, New Yorker. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, how cool is that?
Yeah.
Neat.
The movie only had Sean Connery for 7 days.
Oh, my goodness.
And so they had to get all of his stuff done in 7 days. And Connery even made a bet with Mulcahy that they weren't ever. He's like, this is a 2 week job at least. And you've got me for 7 days. It's like, this isn't going to happen. And it happened.
Wow. Wow.
Also, he was paid $1 million for that 7 days.
Holy shit. Why can't I find a job like that?
Oh, shit.
I could work 1 week a year and be satisfied.
Yeah. I could work 3 days. Give me $300,000 for 3 days.
Right.
And I'll live fat for a year.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. But I don't think that was really like a, you know, when you think of Sean Connery, you think of Sean Connery.
You think of James Bond.
I think so, yes.
Yeah.
I don't think I thought Sean Connery every time I saw him.
Oh, I did.
That was a different kind of... No.
Oh, no. I was looking at that man like, yeah, Sean Connery. Sounds like Sean Connery. Looks like Sean Connery. Acting like a pompous ass like Sean Connery.
That, yes. Yeah, no. No, I didn't. I don't know. Maybe it was the clothes.
Was it the giant pearl earring?
I did keep looking at that thinking, that just doesn't fit.
That's a choice.
I just didn't think it fit. It certainly was a choice. It certainly was. It
100% was a choice.
Okay, yeah. I loved it. Wow, that was such a huge, I think, a huge part of the movie. Where he, you know, took him by the hand and taught him how to be who he was.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting.
I was sad when he died, though.
Yeah.
Because how do you live so long to just die like that?
So carelessly.
So easily.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you'd think in 2,437 years, he had encountered some barbarians before.
Right.
And would have known how to defeat the Kurgan.
Right. But maybe he was just not as strong as I'm. You know what? I wondered about that myself during the movie.
Because, you know, they don't say how old the Kurgan is. How old is the Kurgan?
Right. I would have to think older than the 2,000 years.
You think?
Yes.
Hmm.
Yes.
So if he came from Russia, where Ramirez says he came from, wasn't Russia... Russia wasn't Russia 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago.
No, wouldn't that have been part of Mongolia?
I would think so.
Yeah.
So, where does a white guy like Clancy Brown come from a place run by Mongolians?
Oh, you are absolutely correct.
You know, there's some plausibility in Ramirez's story of him coming from Egypt and kind of landing in Spain,
yeah.
Egypt and Japan and Spain. Like, you know, there's all kinds of, because apparently there was a group of people that left Egypt at some point and ended up in Scotland.
Yes, I believe that is correct. But maybe Genghis Khan was just, you know, unavailable that day.
So I don't know. So I don't know.
Who knows?
That's
because you think too much.
Oh.
You know, that put a whole different thought into my head.
Because, like, if the Kurgan is 3,000, 4,000 years old, I mean, he definitely would. He wouldn't have been a mammoth white guy.
No, he would not have been a big old tall white guy. No.
If he came from where Ramirez put him.
Right.
Geographically.
Right.
If he had said he had come from Scandinavia, a giant white guy coming out of Scandinavia.
Yeah, I'm buying that.
I'm putting all my money on that.
Well, you know, Russia does go right up to the Scandinavian countries.
Yeah, but I don't think at that time that they were taking their boats into Siberia. I think they were taking their boats, you know, into Europe.
Correct. The Vikings were going the other way, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I believe that.
You know,
yes.
Into Europe and across the way into Canada.
Yes. You know, yes.
I don't think they would have gone into, what is that up there? The Black Sea above Russia?
I believe so.
You know,
yes, I don't.
From Finland into Siberia. I just don't.
No. That would have been, that would have been too cold. Too snowy, too desolate.
Yeah.
Going that way. Where going the other way was not the desolate beyond.
The tundra?
Right. The tundra, yes. There would be more countries too where people would be.
Right.
Yes. Okay.
Not to say that I don't think that Siberia at that point in time wouldn't have been populated, but I think that it would have been few and far between.
Very sparse. Yes. Yes. I would have to agree with you.
I don't know.
So you're right. That person was the wrong person for that.
Yeah. Though, I mean, you know, Clancy Brown is a giant man. He sounds intimidating.
Right. He's got a huge head.
Yeah. This kind of ties in with that cartoon I was telling you about.
Right.
I watch the Venture Brothers. I love the Venture Brothers.
Yep.
there are a couple episodes in the later seasons where Dr. Venture is becoming part of big New York society.
Okay.
And he's at some CC party and he sees a man. Dr. Venture wears these one piece coveralls. He calls them speed suits. It's a speed suit.
Okay.
And he says that no man on earth can wear a speed suit like Christopher Lambert. And he meets him at a party and invites him to the Venture compound in New York City to view, I don't know, like an eclipse or something. He's having an eclipse party.
Okay.
So there, you know, there Christopher Lambert's there.
Okay.
Clancy Brown voices a character called, I didn't look it up, and I feel like it's Red Death.
That kind of makes sense.
He's like this big skeleton guy, but like, he goes around and he's a bad guy, so he kills people. But like at home, he's got this really cute wife and this daughter that he's just like the fun dad. But in the villain world, he goes around killing people. And that's awesome. And to tie it all back to Russell Mulcahy is in an episode, Billy Quizboy and Pete White live together in a trailer. They just have random shit, you know, through their travels together. They've just accumulated just random shit.
I get that.
And they...
Lex, you have a skeleton sitting on a stool next to a game machine.
Yeah.
What can I say? I get that.
We've got random shit here, too.
Yeah. you've been to my house, yeah.
And so, and then they're fighting their nemesis. And I can't. Oh, his name is Saint Cloud. Over a ball from Is There Something I Should Know Duran Duran video. And in fighting for this red ball, Saint Cloud sets up a whole like soundstage that looks like the Is There Something I Should Know video. Oh. And he's dressed in like the you know like the plain little suit outfit that the Duran Duran boys are wearing in the video. It's wild. The whole mix in of this silly goofy cartoon made in the early aughts to all the stuff that I loved in the 80s. It's wild.
Hey, everything old is new again.
Yeah.
You know? So, what can I say?
It's crazy.
Very interesting. It does. Everything is connected. Everything.
And it's just, you know, this little pop culture stuff that you're not really paying attention to when it happens, but when you're talking about something else, that's like, oh my God, Venture Brothers. That happened in the Venture Brothers.
Cool. Too cool.
Queen originally intended to record one song for this movie, but after viewing footage from the movie, they were inspired to write more.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Brian May, the guitar player, wrote "Who Wants to Live Forever" during the cab ride home from the viewing.
Oh, my gosh.
And Roger Taylor used the line, "It's a kind of magic," as the basis for the end title song.
Oh my gosh. That is bizarre. That's how it works, I guess.
Yeah.
I hear stories like that. I watch those stupid reels on Facebook, you know, all the time. And there's a guy that talks about big hits from the 70s and 80s, and that's exactly how stuff starts.
Yeah.
You know, a tone or a word or a phrase, and boom, they got a song.
Wouldn't it be wild if your brain worked like that?
Oh my God. I wish my brain worked, period. You know, yes, I would love it to work like that. That would be absolutely fabulous.
Yeah.
But no, mostly my brain does not work.
No.
Oh well, that's sad.
Many of the extras in the battle scenes were students from Glasgow University who were recruited because of their long hair.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness, that's funny. What's your talent? I have long locks.
I speak with a Scottish brogue and I've got long hair.
Yeah.
I look good in a kilt.
But, you know, on the other hand, I mean, that saves on wigs, that saves on,
Yeah,
you know, wardrobe.
absolutely.
Oh, fun. That sounds fun.
The view of New York City from McLeod's apartments
Huh?
is actually photos of New York City blown up and cut into shapes that fit the windows. Some of the backgrounds looked painted. Did you notice that?
I did.
I was trying to decide because we watched this in standard definition on my high definition TV, and like it, you could tell in places that stuff wasn't exactly what it was supposed to be, but like some of it did actually look like this, you know, painted set to look like a foggy sky. And
Well, we've learned throughout our movie watching time that that's not an uncommon thing. That's how it all got started. So, you know, why would that be unusual today?
But there's a scene of like the brick building that McLeod was living in after he was excommunicated from his clan. And you could see the building in the foreground, and in the background you could see, you know, the landscape and the sky. And the lightning, the way the lightning struck around the building made it look like a painting.
Well, you know what? I didn't notice that.
And
Okay.
I don't know why I noticed that, but it was a stunning shot.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
In preparation for the movie, Christopher Lambert trained extensively with sword master and British Olympic fencer Bob Anderson.
Cool. Well, that's what the whole movie was about, is sword
Sword
play.
fighting.
Yeah. And there is a real technique to all of that.
Oh, absolutely.
But how do you do that with a samurai sword? They're not shaped the same way. And they're not. I keep going back to that. I found difficulty with that.
Yeah.
Interesting. All of the stuff in this movie, I pick out that sword.
Well, and she even said that the woman said that the way that the sword was made, Ramirez said that the sword was made in like 800 BC. She said that the Japanese weren't making swords like that until the Middle Ages.
Right.
So, how is that sword
Yeah,
just
that's.
in general? And how did nobody else pick up on that kind of sword making when that guy made that sword? You know what I
Didn't
mean?
he say that that was someone, the father of his wife was someone important?
His wife was a princess.
Right. Okay. So, no, you cannot, no one in that time could have a sword like the best sword I could have.
Right, but I mean, you would think that you would have apprentices down the line, and after that emperor dies, like emperors die all the time,
Right.
you could start making sword, the cool sword that the emperor had, you could start making for the masses.
Okay. But isn't that how the samurai sword started as a one-off thing? And then it was a found discovery that some sword maker discovered this old sword and made it like the, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know enough about swords to.
Well, I'm going to have to find, I'm going home and looking up swords. You know that. You know that, don't you?
So why does the New York Police Department have a metallurgist on staff? How does that help anything?
Well, they needed to put a pretty girl in a certain spot.
Okay.
And that wasn't the first headless body they'd found,
No,
so.
they said they had found one in New Jersey. But I'm just saying, how many broadswords is she coming across on a yearly
Or
basis?
was she just a person who worked in the forensic department that had this interest, and when it came, these headless bodies came up. Is that when, her interest in swords came out?
Just a hobby? That's, that was a thick ass book for just a hobby.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Interesting though that, yeah, okay, I get it.
Russell Mulcahy donated Sean Connery's peacock feathered costume to the London Film Museum.
Ah, cool.
Yeah, that would be cool to see.
Yes.
Speaking of costuming, Clancy Brown originally wanted the Kurgan to be dressed in a suit and a bowler hat.
Okay. Like the Green Hornet
Like Cato.
guy? Yeah. Okay. I couldn't think of his name, but I knew the Green Hornet guy. Yeah,
That was Bruce Lee.
I remembered that, but I knew it wasn't. Oh, yeah, he did play Cato, didn't he?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, also, going back to Venture Brothers, there's a character named Colonel Gentleman who sounds like Sean Connery. Looks like Sean Connery. Just saying.
Colonel Gentleman.
Colonel Gentleman.
Okay. Interesting.
Colonel Gentleman, very gay.
Okay.
Great. Rutger Hauer and Nick Nolte were both considered for the role of the Kurgan.
No, I like the guy that played him.
Yeah, Clancy Brown.
Yeah. Both of those guys would have
I
partially worked.
think Nick Nolte would have been too old.
Yeah. Is that what it is? Too old?
Yeah, because he
Okay.
was old in the 80s.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's it. No. No, can't see either one of the, see, we do that all the time. Oh, no, those that wouldn't be the right part, no.
Virginia Madsen auditioned for the role of Heather McLeod, but didn't get it. She played McLeod's love interest in the sequel.
Okay, just a pretty woman.
Pretty blonde woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that part could have been interchanged with any pretty woman.
Yeah. Speaking of which, where did I write this down? Oh, Karen Allen, Lorraine Bracco, Kate Capshaw, Glenn Close, Lisa Eilbacher, Linda Fiorentino, Kim Grace, Linda Hamilton, Diane Lane, Carolyn McCormick, Demi Moore, Annette O'Toole, Elizabeth Perkins, Annabella Sciorra, Catherine Mary Stewart, Diane Venora, Celia Ward, Sigourney Weaver, and Sean Young were on the short list for the role of Brenda Wyatt.
Oh. Again, any pretty woman, and those, that is all sorts of pretty women.
Yeah.
I think any single one of those could have been slotted into that position.
Absolutely.
Maybe not Sigourney Weaver.
She's not damsel in distress.
Yes. Yes. She's a strong woman. Yeah. But she's an actor, so why couldn't she play that?
Diane Lane at one point was married to Christopher Lambert.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Mel Gibson turned down the role of Connor McLeod.
Too old.
Coincidentally, Christopher Lambert was considered to play Martin Riggs in Lethal Weapon. Martin Riggs is the role that Mel Gibson played.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh. I think that might have worked, too. I don't know. I've never seen that movie, so. Interesting.
Hulk Hogan, Notorious Liar and Piece of Shit.
Tell us how you really feel.
Claims that he was offered the role of McLeod.
I don't believe that.
No.
It would have been in some of the research we found if he was.
Yeah. If he was on any kind of short list.
Right.
Shut up, Carrie.
He may have been on the short list to start the film with wrestling.
Even then.
That's a no.
Hulk Hogan is a liar and a piece of shit.
Okay.
Brooke Adams was the original choice for the role of Brenda Wyatt.
Brooke Adams. I don't think I can picture her.
I can't see her either. Rosanna Arquette, Jennifer Beals, Tanya Roberts, and Elizabeth Brooks were also in consideration.
Goodness.
Tanya Roberts turned down the role to star in A View to a Kill, which is a James Bond movie.
Right.
With music done by Duran Duran.
I was just going to say, isn't that another name we know?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It says Mark Singer was the top choice for the role of Connor McLeod at one point, but turned it down due to scheduling.
I can't
see Mark Singer.
I can't picture him.
And I didn't bother to even pretend to look him up.
No.
Lee Van Cleef, Clint Eastwood, Malcolm McDowell, Gene Hackman, Michael Caine, and Peter O'Toole were all considered for the role of Ramirez.
That's quite an age range there.
Not really. I would say that all of these men are...
You think so?
Yeah. Sean Connery just died. How old was he? Early 90s? Late 80s?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 90s. Yeah.
Clint Eastwood's like 95 years
old. Oh, well. I cannot see Clint Eastwood in that role,
you know,
at all.
Michael Caine is in his 80s. Gene Hackman is pert near death.
I cannot see him in that role at all, no.
So, I mean, yeah, they're all old guys. And they would have been, you know, 50-ish.
Okay.
In the 80s.
All right. Now, no, I think that role was cast perfectly.
Clancy Brown based his performance on Arnold Schwarzenegger's role as the T-800 in The Terminator.
Arnold Schwarzenegger? You mean that short guy?
Yeah. Arnold apparently also turned down the role.
Oh, that's, you know, that would have set me off in a whole different direction.
Yeah.
Why does everything come around to Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I don't know, but I put that in for you.
I thank you. I appreciate it.
When the movie was in early development, Scott Glenn and Roy Scheider were the top choice for the Kurgan. Roy Scheider from Jaws?
No.
We're going to need a bigger boat?
Yeah, no. No, he's too pedestrian. He's too...
Yeah.
He's too Midwest. No.
Yeah, just...
He's just a regular looking guy.
Just a dad.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
The entire budget was put up by Thorn EMI. So what, you know, whatever that 16, 19 million was.
Oh, wow.
And the last thing I wrote down is that Connor is driving a Porsche 356A Speedster. That little tiny baby car that he's driving at the beginning.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. Oh my goodness. How interesting.
There is not a lot of food in this movie.
No.
She does go buy a live, his wife goes and buys a live chicken.
Yes. Is that how we got our breakfast?
No.
Okay.
I just Googled Scottish meals.
Okay.
Because I was just like, I've got Thanksgiving leftovers and I've got breakfast. What?
Right.
What can I do with this? And what can I procure at 6 a.m. on a Sunday in Toledo, Ohio?
Right. Because we're never prepared.
No.
We talk about this for 2 weeks, and then it comes 5 minutes before we start filming. Oh, what are we going to do here? What are we going to do there? What's this? What's that?
And nobody ever knows.
Yeah, I know.
We're both idiots.
Basically, yes. Yes. Basically.
So I'm Googling at, 5 o'clock last night, Scottish food. What can I easily make in my American kitchen at 6 o'clock on a Sunday morning?
Yep.
And breakfast popped up and I was just like, who the hell don't love breakfast?
Nobody in this house.
So we actually did have a little bit of English table food. We had a Heinz beans.
They were delicious. We had toast and beans.
Yeah.
I was surprised at how good they were together. You were. Oh, you didn't.
I liked the sausage and the beans together. That was good. That was a good bite. But the toast and the beans, it was just kind of eh.
Yeah, okay. All right. I thought it tasted real good.
Maybe you need drier toast.
Well, right.
I don't know. To have that different mouth feel.
Yes.
I don't know.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, we had eggs and beans and toast and little sausages. It's delicious.
As usual, it was delicious. That's one good one thing we do well is food.
Yeah.
Yes.
We did a TikTok. It's kind of silly.
Yes. I did try to figure out how to make haggis. Ooh. That we could eat.
No.
But we, as Americans, we don't eat organ meat in general.
Yeah.
And medically, in 2024, with mad cow and all that other crazy stuff out there, you shouldn't really eat organ meat. So we couldn't, like, there was no way I could make anything that even partially resembled haggis.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's not, you know, like so many odd foods. I'd rather try it and then somebody say, oh, that was, you know, I've tried rattlesnake. I've tried alligator.
I've tried alligator. I had shark one time.
Shark is delicious. It's so meaty. You know, I'd rather try stuff like that and then somebody say, "Oh, you're eating." But to set out to order haggis to try,
I just.
I couldn't do it. And I've eaten some weird stuff in my time.
Yeah.
You know, so
You like liver.
I do. I like liver. And
Ugh.
I don't can't say I really like it, but I've had head cheese.
Oh.
And you know, I've tried weird stuff, but I don't think I could even try something like haggis. It just looks so awful.
It does.
And not in a good way. So I'm sorry, but
Yeah.
my Scottish roots don't go back to haggis. Now you put a scone in front of me, yum.
Ugh.
And my grandma never baked her scones. She made them in a cast iron skillet. They were in a cast iron skillet, and wow. So, but that's about it, you know.
Ugh. There's nothing more disappointing to me than a scone.
It's a biscuit for crying out
It's the
loud.
driest goddamn biscuit you've ever had in your life. And there's no amount of jam and cream to make a dry,
Yeah.
gross biscuit taste any better.
I understand. I understand.
Ugh.
You don't have as much peasant in you as I do.
Ugh.
So, yeah, okay. All right, what else you got? Oh, we got deaths.
Yeah, lots of deaths.
Yes, crazy amount of deaths.
Yeah.
Let's see. Chuck Woolery? That's a name from my past.
Yeah.
He was the very first host of Wheel of Fortune, which still goes today. 80 young to me, 83.
Yeah, that's not. I honestly, if you were asking me how old I thought Chuck Woolery was, I would have said 95.
Right,
Because how
right.
was he? What was he not 68 and a half years old in 1983?
Right. I hear you. I hear you. Michael Villalea.
Okay.
Bob Bryant. He was only 84 too. Bob Breyer.
From My Chemical
Yeah,
Romance.
46.
I read 44. Whatever.
Oh, you know what? That is a four.
But
You are correct.
yeah, that sounded kind of like a bad turn of events, and he was probably eaten by his dogs.
Yeah.
That sucks. It sucks for him. It sucks for his dogs.
And I didn't see anything about a cause of death.
No.
You know, so that's even more unfortunate.
Yeah.
Someone of that
But
age.
44 to just drop over of natural causes, that's rare.
Right.
So, you
Right.
know. And he had been, you know, he and Mike Hemm parted, you know, with their third major album, their fourth overall. I think he wrote songs on it but didn't play.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the end of them anyways, that last album.
Okay.
It sucked.
Oh, that's too bad.
But yeah, the emo kids will remember Bob Breyer.
Yeah. Medrica, Medriga Burnett Jr., age 20, a football player
Oh.
who had a head injury.
He just got hit in the head wrong and
Yep.
died.
Yep.
Awful. How
Yep.
awful.
And is it Javier?
I would think so.
Javier Schneider? I didn't write anything down about that. What? Who is
He's a
this?
TikTok guy. So people will know him from
Yes.
TikTok. I
Yes,
don't
yes,
know.
yes. I
And I don't think it
didn't.
was Javier. Maybe it's like Jair or something.
Jair, maybe, yes.
I didn't look him up. I just saw the obituary.
And when I saw that, I did look up a TikTok, and yes, I do recognize him. I've seen him on some reels,
Oh, okay.
but he's one of those ones I scrolled through, not He didn't do stuff of my interest.
Okay.
And then this is a sad note for a special friend of our show, the outside cat that lived here, Butterscotch, passed this recent week.
It was awful.
Yes.
And poor Justin had to find her.
My heart still hurts about that. He will be.
I think it was a she.
It will be greatly missed.
Yeah.
Already is.
Already is.
You know how we love our pets. You know, they live in our hearts forever.
Yeah. And she came every day for just rubs. She didn't want food every day. She just wanted some attention.
Yeah.
And we were more than happy to give it to her.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, it was a rough week for people passing. I mean.
Yeah.
Last week, last time it was two or three. It's surprising. But then there was a few weeks ago that they were like eight.
They were like 10.
Golly, gee whiz.
September was rough.
Yeah. Well, it always is. Us September people know that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Interesting. We've had a interesting week.
Yeah.
And Lexis got us on a new... Have we talked about this new...
Oh, no. If you are interested in following our social media, we are now on Blue Sky at MWMMPod. Blue Sky is kind of like Twitter for the Twitter refugees.
I didn't get on. I probably should.
We're followed by a couple film podcasts. I'm following a couple film podcasts. It's all in its infancy. Us and Blue Sky.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's a good analogy.
Yeah. So I'm trying to post there a little bit here and there. Posted our movie trailer. I posted the picture of the food we ate today.
Nice.
So yeah, if you don't want to follow us on Facebook, follow us on Blue Sky, you'll get the same info.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good that you are expanding our horizons.
Yeah, you know, everybody's on Twitter. But
not us anymore.
With the allowance of hate to be there.
Yeah.
With the allowance, with the gleeful allowance of hate and misinformation. I just can't get behind that.
No. Mm-mm. And I agree with you. I agree with you. There's too much of that hate out there already, and we don't need that. I mean, it's rough enough out there now.
No, man, I spend too much goddamn time on the internet as it is. It's all awful.
Yeah.
And
yes, and I saw something disturbing yesterday while I was flipping through.
Oh no!
Some major companies that are financing Project 2025.
Oh, I saw you sent that to me, but I didn't watch it. I'm sure everybody's involved.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't done any looking into that to see if it was true. Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
You know, those political people, where that spawned from, get their money from
all these other
conservative
corporations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Heritage Foundation has its hand in many pies.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of the companies that were on there are companies that I don't use for the very reason that they don't have ideas like I have.
Right.
So, you know, so just gives me more incentive not to shop at places or eat at places.
Oh, okay, I'll have to watch that thing.
You know, and like you said,
I'll be disappointed.
Yeah, me too. And I'll do more research to, is this true or did somebody just say this? You know,
because they're conservative organizations. They obviously have to be involved.
Right.
So, but are they? I don't know.
I don't know.
I wouldn't put it past anybody anymore.
Oh, no, 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 no. Uh-oh. No. No. But no. Anyway.
In this climate.
Right. So, yeah. Fun things.
Yeah.
Different things. You know, too few people are using their brains.
And a lot of people are finding out the hard way that Obamacare was the Affordable Care Act, and they have shot themselves in the foot. And that makes me happy to no end.
Yeah.
You dumb hillbillies.
Oh, my. Yeah.
You dumb racist pieces of shit. Just because you wanted Obama's name off it.
Right.
Well, you got that. Now, right. Now you don't have insurance. Now your meemaw doesn't have insurance. Are you happy about that?
Your meemaw. Racist. Oh, my goodness.
Alexis is unapologetic about this.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. You know what? You know, I'm getting older, and with the new regime, you know, what's going to happen to my Social Security check, you know? Is this old woman who hurts all the time and had bad this, bad that, going to have to go out and get a job?
Ugh.
You know, so I can afford to eat? Not just stand in some line at some food pantry? I don't want to do that. I don't want to be there.
Yeah.
You know, nothing against food pantries.
No.
Nothing.
No, and you'll be here before you're anywhere else, but.
Yeah, but, you know, are you going to have a job?
I hope so.
Justin going to have a job, you know?
I think Justin's always going to have a job. Now, is it going to be a good paying job? No,
right.
Because his union sucks.
Well, you know how I feel about unions, but that's a whole different program. We don't have enough time to talk about that. I was a union worker. I have to say that. But anyway, you know what? What's going to happen? Will we be able to sell our houses and find one place for all of us to live? And then in that case, what about his mom and dad and grandma? You know, how are we going to survive?
Right.
I worry about stuff like that. That's the stuff I worry about.
Yeah.
You know, other people worry about, I don't know what they worry about, but, and nuclear war?
They can happen any minute now.
Yep.
Putin is already threatening. North Korea
is
itching.
He isn't even threatening. He has said he will.
Yeah.
Where's that coming from?
Yeah.
You know, what's going to happen then? Nuclear winter is not a funny thing.
Well, I just, you know, they're going to, are they going to nuke Ukraine? Ukraine is too goddamn close. You know, what? So you're just going to kill the land so nobody can have it? Oh, okay. That doesn't make sense.
Well, absolutely. Sure. If I can't have it, nobody can.
Like, I get it. But like, also, just why?
I know.
Just why?
Well, and we've talked about digging a hole and putting a box in your yard. Maybe we should. Maybe we should put a couple of containers in your yard. Our little family is small, but it's not that small.
Right. Yeah, what is there, about 10 of us all told here in town with in-laws and everything?
That's about it, yeah.
Three. There's Yumi and Justin is three. His people are three. Aunt Chris, that's seven. That's just here in town.
Yeah. Uncle Bizey up in Michigan. You know, I don't know where he is at right now, but he needs to go to Mali. But anyway, that's beside the point. Yeah. Our little family's not big, but...
Yeah.
Where could we all live together to?
Let's pool our funds and live in a mansion.
I don't know if I could afford that. I don't know if I had that many funds.
I don't know if I know enough people to break that down into something cost effective. Like
Right.
you just get your wing and I get my wing.
Right. It would have to have a moat.
Oh, 100%.
Absolutely. All right. There we go. I could start thinking about that.
Okay.
Yeah. Some of these castles in Europe are like that.
Yeah.
We could just all move to Europe and take over a castle. Oh, well, I'd have to get a passport and, you know, then the government would be able to track me and maybe that's not such a good idea.
My friend at work, her husband is getting, her ex-husband is getting passports for their children to go on a Disney cruise. And she said it's been real fun giving him all this documentation to send to the government.
Right.
And she's just like, he's like just beside himself with like, well, why do they need this information? Why can't they just look it up? And it's just like, well, they could, but they also want to prove that you can prove that this
right.
is this and this is that.
And being a divorced couple, it's even more difficult.
Yeah. And she's just like, well, when the government doesn't give you that paperwork back, you're paying for two copies. So you and I can both have copies.
Yeah.
Instead of just you asking me for shit.
Right. Right. Oh, it's. And then I just heard there's a thing on the news about small LLCs that need to register with the government. Have you heard anything about that?
Uh-uh.
And this is something new. It's been going on for a while, but this is something new and it has to be done like, you know, yesterday. And I think, you know, I know a couple of people that have little businesses with LLCs. I wonder if they know about this kind of stuff. Because the fines, if you don't comply, will be compounded daily.
Oh.
I can't even imagine.
No.
You know, and it's stuff that they should already have. Don't you have to get it? When you get an LLC, don't you have to state who you are and what your address is? It's stuff like that that they're required to turn over.
Well, I don't know how it works because at work, I deal with a lot of shipping companies, little tiny logistic companies
mm-hmm.
that their W-9 information is wild.
Interesting.
Like they'll sign everything up for the business name, but their W-9s are in their personal name with the DBA of the business name, doing business as. So like for our, you know, for our accounting system, it has to be, you know, so I can't just put, you know, like Mo's Trucking. It has to be, you know, Mo blah, blah, blah at this address. And
with the DBA of blah, blah, blah. Oh, interesting.
And it's a whole thing. And it's mostly Russian people.
Huh.
Very, very Slavic names.
Well, the guy they interviewed was a towing company. It was a guy who owned a towing company, and he was standing in front of his fleet.
Okay, was it like two pickup trucks?
It was a tow truck and a flatbed tow truck.
Okay.
That was his fleet. And he runs this operation himself. He says, I didn't know I was supposed to. How am I going to take care of that, you know?
Ugh, you find a lawyer to take care of it for you.
How
interesting. Enjoy paying that bill.
Yeah, exactly. Apparently, Channel 13 has put a link in their things we talked about on TV that you can go to and take care of it. But who knows about this?
Yeah, who knew?
You know, and if it's a government thing, why was it kept such a secret for over a year? And now that the time is up, is it just coming to the front of everybody?
Well, that sounds like bureaucracy at its best.
Oh,
though.
Absolutely.
We're not
going to
tell you the rules change until the rules have changed. And sorry about your luck. You missed the deadline.
Right.
Well, you know, we didn't tell it to you, but you should have known.
Right. crazy stuff is happening right now. Just crazy stuff.
Yeah. It's all bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's start digging that hole in your yard and putting a couple of...
Okay.
My yard's a little bigger. Maybe we should...
Your yard is much bigger. And you could get two containers in there side by side if you go long ways.
I bet we could. I bet we could. But how would we get those containers into my yard? The neighbors are, 6 foot from each side of me.
Right. Right.
Oh, well, what do you know? I don't know. But you know what? That's stuff you can't worry about.
No.
What happens, happens. And I do worry about old people, who, like me, are living on Social Security and fixed incomes. And it's scary. But not going to worry about it.
Nope. Can't worry about it.
Nope.
You make yourself sick worrying about it.
Yep.
And so Deborah at work winds herself up and it's just like, Deborah, it's going to happen whether you are prepared for it or not.
Correct.
So,
yeah.
I mean, there's no sense in getting riled up.
No. 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 You do the best you can do every day that you're doing it and hope for the best.
Yep.
But we'll keep watching movies.
Yeah, we're going to keep watching movies. We don't have another movie set up. It is kind of starting to snow here in Ohio.
It is. We had snow on the ground this morning.
So when we get a little bit of accumulation, we'll think about The Shining.
Okay.
As for a holiday movie, we're going to do Gremlins this year.
Okay. Didn't we do Gremlins?
Nope.
Okay.
No, we did the Muppets last year.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. We did three of the same movie, didn't we?
No, it was
just two.
It was just the two. It was Scrooged and it was Muppets Christmas Carol.
Right. Okay.
So, I guess if snow comes in the next couple weeks, it'll be The Shining, and if not, we'll figure something else out.
Right. And when we talk about snow in Ohio, we're talking about Northwest Ohio, not Eastern Ohio that has feet of snow today. Feet.
Yeah, and our street just has a little dusting.
Yeah, when I say there was snow on the ground, I meant like on the edges of the grass. just on the edges of the grass.
Enough to be noticeable.
Right, right.
Yeah, no, when we're talking about snow, we're talking about we need to put our snow boots on.
Right. And it'll get here.
Yeah.
We haven't had snow in a couple of years, so I think we should be getting some.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Just can't wait for that.
I know.
My favorite thing.
I hate shoveling. I hate raking leaves. I hate shoveling snow.
You know who else hates shoveling snow?
Alexis.
But you know who else hates shoveling snow?
Justin. Well, unfortunately.
And he will not even pretend to shovel snow. Like, I'll go out there and pretend, but he won't even pretend. He'll just drive on it. He doesn't give a fuck.
And unfortunately, you have a street that snowplows go up and down.
Yeah.
So you virtually don't have a driveway half of the winter.
Yeah.
Or if you do have a driveway, it's one of those get a running start and jump out.
Right.
Because if you are out there right after the snowplow goes by, shoveling your path, it's frozen. You're done.
That's harder than cement.
Yep. If you happen to be at work when they come by with the snowplow, it's too bad. You may not get in your driveway.
Yep.
And, oh, my God, how does that happen? How can that happen? But, really, you can't be fined for having snow on. You don't have a sidewalk.
No.
You're lucky there.
Yeah.
See, I have a sidewalk in my neighborhood. So you have to clear that in. Within 24 hours. And I do. I will go out and shovel a path.
It's funny that the city has rules on how the sidewalks should look, but not the fucking roads.
Right. Right.
Because, what was it? The first year I worked at where I work now, it's in a different township than where I live. And I know that they don't have, a fleet of snow plows like the city I live in does.
Right.
But I know that they can take it out for a spin more than once or twice, because it was like 48 hours outside of a snowstorm and the roads looked like dog shit. And it was just like, how am I supposed to drive on this? How am I supposed to get anywhere
Right.
with your roads looking like this?
Right.
48 hours after a shower.
Right.
Absolutely not.
And we didn't even have all that much snow any time last year. A few inches at a time.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine those people to the east of us in eastern Ohio and in New York State that are getting feet of snow from the lake. I can't even imagine. They've got to be used to it, though.
Oh, I'm sure, because I'm sure we wouldn't be bitching as hard as we are if we got snow regularly.
I guess. I guess.
It can snow all it wants. It just can't be so bone-chillingly cold.
Oh.
This tundra cold just
Yeah.
drives me bananas.
And this whole week is supposed to be in the 20s and 30s. So get your neck scarf out.
I found a hat the other day and put a hat on.
Nice.
So I was like, I can't go outside without putting a hat on.
My big coat has a hood.
Yeah, but I
And
can't see out of it.
right, and I do put it up occasionally. I don't like a hat and I don't like a hood.
Well, the hood would be fine if the hood, like, I don't know, like, because I guess I have a fat person coat. Like, I guess fat people are supposed to have big heads and lots of hair. Because if I had a bigger head with lots more hair, the hood would be fine. It
No,
would be fine.
it's
But
because it's like
it comes down to my nose.
it's a parka. You have like a parka, and that's the type of hood it has.
It's
It's a
wild.
it's got that big extra piece on the front, and it's like taller. You're right.
It's wild.
Can you fold it back? Can you like fold the
No,
front
because it's
back?
fur
So,
lined.
right. Like, can you fold it back so you can see out of it?
No, I just kind of hold it up so I
Yeah.
can see, and then,
Well, that's about the only time I put my hood up is from the store to the car. You know. And it's okay to keep your head down. You know. Just look at where you're going.
I guess.
But she doesn't want to move to where it's warmer. I suggested that today. She said no.
No, thank you.
That would require moving, wouldn't it?
Well, first of all, that. Plus, everywhere else has tornadoes. I'm not trying to get deal with a tornado.
Yeah, that's true. Worse, we have tornadoes here, but worse tornadoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. Okay. All right, then. We'll just have to stay here.
All right. Darn.
Okay.
Right, did we say what we want to say?
I think we have covered many
I
topics
think we've
today.
covered everything.
I do, I do.
And if you can find the Venture Brothers, the whole series, go watch it. I know parts of it are on Netflix. Fucking HBO got rid of it.
I'm sorry.
But find the whole series and watch it. It's great.
Okay. I won't, but you all do.
Yeah.
Right. Sounds good.
All right, and until then, we'll see you on Facebook or Blue Sky.
Bye.
Bye.